Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Come on, church. Make some noise in this place.
Greeting. This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
Thank you. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real. Do I have a witness this morning? He's real in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. We're gonna do that one more time. There are some things, if you know it, sing along with me. I may not know. If you're from the old school, this is from you. There are some places I cannot go, but I am sure of this one thing, that my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Come on, church, help me sing this part. I know you know it. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. 'Cause yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Yes, God is real. Hey, He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real.
Yes, sir.
He's real in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. I know some of your mothers and your grandmothers used to say, His love for me is like pure gold. Hallelujah. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. It's real. Real in my soul. I can't account for anybody else but myself. And if nobody ever told me just who God is, if I had to testify of him for myself, I'd just simply say, yes, God is real. And he's real in my soul. I'm no perfect man, and I'm no perfect preacher. But one thing I know is that he's real in my soul. Yes, God. Amen. It's truly a blessing to be found on the land of the living once again. Many by thousands would have wished to have this opportunity, but by the grace of God and by a sweet and tender mercy, we're here yet again on the land of the living. And as the songwriter said, is that God is real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When friends and family have seemed as fake as a $4 bill, one thing that I can say for myself is that God, and maybe God has never done anything for you. Maybe you've never spent a long time with God. But it's one thing about spending time with God. You know, you can testify for yourself that God is indeed real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, sir. Come on.
Let us pray. Most gracious and honorable Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a God who sees all, knows all, and for me, he's my all in all. God, you're real. You've never been fake. You've never strayed away from your word. But Father, you're real. And the power of you is just as real. What you've done for us is just as real. Even in times when we've strayed away from you, God, you remain as real as can be. And on this day, Father, I ask that you would just insert your Holy Spirit. And Father, prepare a word for your people. Prepare a rhema word, a right now word that they can use and apply. And Father, I just ask that you would allow someone who may be going through something, and they don't know just how real you are. I ask right now that you would send your Holy Spirit to quicken them just by the very mention of your name. And it's in the mighty and matchless name of your Son, Jesus, that I do now pray. Amen. Yes, go. Yes, go. And this morning, without any further ado, I just like to acknowledge my pastor, Bishop Lionel Smith, for his continued support and encouragement in the ministry, and also on his 35th anniversary. And 35 years is, for some it seems like a short while, but 35 years is a long time. To all the ministers on the roster, to the children, and to you, my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, there is a word from on high. And not only in celebrating 35 years of our beloved pastor, but in celebrating the long-suffering love of God for each and every one of us, there is a word from on high, and we may all stand for the reading of God's word. It can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to come from two places in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to come from first the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse of that 8th chapter. And then also we're going to look at at chapter 29 and at verse 5 of that 29th chapter. Again, the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. And likewise, the book of Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter and the 5th verse. And when you have it, if you could please say amen. And the word of the Lord reads as thus. It says, "And thou shalt remember all the way for which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And likewise, we're going to look at the 29th chapter and the 5th verse. And it says, when you're there, just say amen. And it says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. And the word of the Lord is already blessed." You may be seated. The Lord says, through the prophet Moses, "And I have led you." Yes, indeed he has. "These 40 years in the wilderness." And this morning, I stand convinced that while there were some of us that were in the wilderness over 40 years ago, there are some of us that are in the wilderness as it stands right now. It may be the wilderness on your job. It may be the wilderness in your marriage. Or like the young brother said early in the service, it may be the wilderness in that jail cell. But this morning, I come bring you greetings from on high and tell you that whatever has you in the wilderness, whatever your situation may be, the Lord says that I have led you these 40 years in the wilderness. That's right. He says to humble you. My Lord, did he humble me? To prove you and to know the intentions of thy heart, whether or not thou wouldest keep his commandments. He says in verse 2 of that 8th chapter, he says, "And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness." That's right. And this morning, if I had to pose to the body of Christ any question, I simply ask you, if God has been leading you for 40 years, if he's been leading us for 40 long and toilsome years, then just why would God stop leading us now? If God has been leading you for 40 years, the same God right here that is the God of Israel, just why would he stop leading us now? And if I had to use anything as a subject, I just say, don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. And if the storm never stops raging, I had an old professor tell me that no matter how much it rains, the sun will shine again. But as children of God, we need to remember on this day, y'all, that no matter how much the sun shines, it will rain. Nevertheless, the scripture is compelling, because as it opens here, we find the prophet Moses in what will be his third and final address to the children of Israel. The Bible says that after that, he's going to the top of Mount Nebo. He's standing in between, if you will, the wilderness and the banks of Jordan. He's standing in between, if you will, in between life and death. And in his farewell speech to the children of Israel, he says, "On today, I am 120 years old. I can no longer go out, and neither can I come in. And on today, the Lord has said unto me, Moses, thou shalt see, but thou shalt not go over into this Jordan." And my question to you this morning is have you ever felt like Moses? Like no matter what you do to please the people of God, no matter how much you give to please the people of God, even to the point of giving the shirt off your back, nobody, no matter what you do, nobody, not even God, seems satisfied. And have you ever felt like Moses? Have you ever felt like no matter what you do, you're still surrounded in wilderness? And as we hang in the balance in between life and death, the question this morning is, are you in the wilderness? Are you on Mount Nebo? or are you at the banks of Jordan? Understand that the wilderness, Mount Nebo, and the banks of Jordan is nothing more than a template for those of us that are lost in the wilderness to use to be reconciled back to God. Because on one hand, the wilderness it represents the time you spent away from God doing exactly what you wanted to do. The wilderness represents the very center of your disobedience when you had no desire to be found of God. But then there's Mount Nebo. That place that for Moses represents a place of rejection. That place that for Moses represents a place of letdown and disappointment. That place, Mount Nebo represents that place that for Moses, where Moses will eventually die and be forever separated from the children of Israel until the day of redemption. And I thought I heard the Lord calling out saying, this is the land which I have swore unto Abraham,
right,
Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. But then there's the Jordan River. The physical separation between Moses and the promises of God. The physical separation between Moses and the land of Canaan. A land that for Moses, the Lord says, can be seen but not felt. But for the children of Israel is the gateway to opportunity. And for Moses, what a shame it is to have gone, to have lived through life and to have reached the top of the mountain and not reached the promises of God. And though the Bible doesn't give us any indication of how exactly Moses, I say that's enough to make any 120-year-old man croak. What a shame. To have reached the top of the mountain and have not gone over. And this morning, as we hang in the balance between life and death, realize that the Lord has said that he's done this to humble you, to prove you, and to know the intentions of thy heart. To humble you, to prove you, and to understand just what the Lord is saying here. Mount Nebo is that place that for Moses has separated him from everything that has brought him close to God. It represents that place where you've come so close to God, but yet you remain so far. And the question this morning is still, is it anybody that has ever felt like Moses? Is it anybody that has ever felt like Moses? And how dreadful it must be to have spent one-on-one time with God and be just as stuck now as we were over 40 years ago. And some of us have been stuck in marriages and in relationships for what seemed like better than 40 years. Nevertheless, I want to know, is it anybody that has ever felt like Moses? Like no matter what you do to please the people of God, nobody, not even God, seems satisfied. And can I tell you this morning that no matter where you are in life, whether you be in the wilderness, on Mount Nebo, or whether you be at the banks of Jordan, your faith will still be tested. Nevertheless, I need to know, is it anybody that has ever felt like Moses, that has ever felt trapped in the wilderness, like for every two steps forward, you're taking 10 steps backwards, and you just can't see, and what do you do when you know you've gone to sleep with Jesus, only to wake up in the middle of the night, and it feels as though the Lord has not only brought you to, but has left you in what the Bible says is that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there are not only serpents, there are scorpions. He said, but wherein there is drought and no water. Furthermore, the Bible says that unto this day, the Lord has not given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and neither has he given us a heart to understand. And just how do you make heads or tails of your situation when you don't know what God loves like? When you don't know what God looks like? And when you don't know what God sounds like? And can I tell somebody this morning, New Sky, that is exactly what the wilderness is. When you don't know what God, when you don't know what God loves like. When you don't know what God looks like. And when you don't know what God sounds like, yet you've been praying to him from as far back as you can remember. Now I lay me down to sleep. And this morning, understand that in the 8th and 29th chapters of Deuteronomy, the 40 years have ended. And we know that they have ended for the simple fact that through the prophet Moses, God is now speaking in the past. Says, understand this morning, y'all, that y'all 40 years are over. And I need to know, why are we as the children of God just insisting on being in the wilderness? And just why do we insist on being? Maybe it's that man who you thought was a God-fearing man. But turns out that man thinks that he is God. Or maybe it's that woman who you thought was a church-going woman. But turns out she is the most, I better leave that alone. Nevertheless, the question this morning is just, what is it that is keeping you in the wilderness? What is it that is keeping you in the wilderness and away from God? And do you not know that the desire to remain in the wilderness after God has brought you out of your situation is the same thing as saying that what the Lord has prepared for you and what the Lord has in store for you is not quite good enough? The Lord says, for I know the thoughts of the things that I have planned. There are thoughts to give you, to give you a hope and a future. And just why do we insist on being lost? Just why do we insist on being lost? But he says, neither has he given you eyes to see, ears that you may hear, and neither has he given you a heart to understand. And again, that is exactly what the wilderness is. And the question this morning is, have you ever wondered why in your mind that what should have been 11 days journey has taken the children of God 40 years? And have you ever wondered just how easy and how good life might be had you done things differently some 20, 30, the Bible suggests some 40 years ago prior to your going into the wilderness? Have you ever wondered if only I had come to God just a little bit sooner? Not only would it have saved me a whole lot of heartache, but it would have saved me a whole lot of misery and a whole lot of pain. If only I had come to God just a little bit sooner. And if only you had come to God just a little bit sooner, maybe the husband would still be there, the one who you now know that God has ordained since the beginning of time to be the high priest of his household. But because of yourself and because you wonder where the parents in the marriage, not only has he left you, but guess what? It's been 40 years. Guess what? You're beyond the flower of your age, and you have yet to find a man of that caliber again. And as a result, you're just as mean as you can be. And have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered just how easy and how good? Maybe the wife who you ran out on so many times would still be there. The one who you now know that since the beginning of the time beyond the shadow of death that God had ordained to be the helpmeet for her husband. But because of your foolishness and your womanizing ways, not only have you lost a relationship with your wife, but likewise you've lost a relationship with your children. And you're looking at me this morning like, Minister West, how do I go back and pick up the pieces after 40 years with a family that I helped father that doesn't even know me? And the last thing you heard of your children, they was running around town just as loose as can be, struggling with self-identity and didn't know whether they were crooked or straight. Your daughter looking for love in all the wrong places, still trying to replace the love and affection of a man that she's never known. And your son at 40 years old, still trying to replace the father that he's never met. And though he never met you a day in his life, still the question in your mind, you just can't stand it when somebody says that that man has turned out to be just like his old no good dad. And I would call you a deadbeat dad, but your problem is rooted in something far beyond fatherhood. Because it's been 40 years, and these last 40 years, you've been completely lost. You've been completely lost. Nevertheless, this morning, you ought to be glad because the Lord has said one thing in the scripture. He says, and I have led you these 40 years in your wilderness to humble you, to prove you, and to know the intention of thine heart, whether or not thou wouldest keep his commandments. But one thing that the Lord has said this morning that has just set my spirit on fire, he says, and I. In other words, the Lord is saying in the scripture that, listen, whatever it is that has happened to you or with you while you are yet in the world, I take full responsibility for you and for the simple fact that you are my children and I am the Almighty Father. And isn't it amazing that while we were yet in the world, not only has the Lord cared for you, but the Lord says, guess what, and I have led you these 40 years in your wilderness when you were out of your mind, out of church, and out of the will of God. And if it's just one thing that I love about God, is the fact that how he still, even in the midst of disobedience, he still sent forth the prophet Moses to preach and to prophesy to the children of Israel concerning those things, what thus saith the Lord. Yes, Lord. And understand this morning that in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses is now preaching out his soul. And guess what? The subject in this sermon, thou shalt remember all the ways in which the Lord thy God has led you these 40 years in your wilderness. And understand that though his sermon is only one verse and only 42 words long, in that one verse and in those 42 words, guess what? Moses has, not only has he given us God's instruction, he's given us God's direction, and he's given us God's threefold purpose. When he says, and thou shalt remember, that's God's instruction. When he says, God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that's God's direction. And when he says to humble you, to prove you, and to know the intentions of thine heart, that's God's threefold purpose. And why is it that even with God's threefold purpose, that even with clear instruction, with clear direction, and with a clear threefold purpose, again, the question is just why do we insist on being lost? And the word of God has already preached itself.
What a word, what a word. What a word. There's no reason that you are continuing to suffer in the wilderness. He has said to us, whosoever will, let him come. And whoever come in the name of the Lord Jesus, he said he'll save you. But there's something on your part must be done. You got to confess yourself before God and deny yourself before God. Then you got to take up that heavy burden, that cross of Jesus Christ that he has given you, not me, but that God has given you. You got to manifest it before the presence of God, and he will deliver you. Maybe one today, desiring in your heart to come before God, come to Christ, that you be delivered according to the word that we've just heard. If you're here today, we ask that you come now. Why stay in the wilderness? Why you insist on staying in the wilderness? It's no reason. The gospel is being preached all over the world today. Why stay in the wilderness? If you're here, come now. Come now.
Some people say I'm crazy, but ooh, I can't explain the power that I feel when I call his name. See, it's just like fire. Something about the name, I realize. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, how I love. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Hallelujah. It is the sweetest. Some people say I'm crazy. Oh, I can't explain the power that keeps moving when I call his name. See, it's just like fire.
Something about the name Jesus,
I realize.
Sweet. Oh, oh,
oh, oh,
I know.
Oh, oh, I know.
Oh, I love.
something about the name Jesus.
Yeah! Jesus!
Something about the name Jesus.
The healer! Yes, he is!
Is the Jesus. Oh, I know.
Now, where, Michael?
Oh, I love the name Jesus.
We thank God today. We thank God today. I want to, in his holy and precious name, he's good, his mercy endures forever. And we can abide in his peace and let his peace abide in us. And whatever that we ask him, it shall be granted even unto us. That's according to his word. We pray, we ask in faith that God will deliver you physically and spiritually.
I like that. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
He's my
Let's see some hands. We worship him.
We worship you.
Everybody. Not because I've been so faithful, not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me to provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain, guiding my footsteps. Shelter from the rain, and it was you. Made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. Weren't there. Come on and say, Jesus, I love you. Yeah, because you care. I couldn't imagine what life would be
if you weren't there.
You are the joy of my salvation. You're the peace in my storm. Loving arms protect me. You shelter me from harm. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My strong tower, my dearest and best friend. And it was you.
Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine.
Thank you.
If you were in there,
help me say, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do
because you care.